Yo. The politician will easily mention a lie cause he count you don't know the truth. You tend to probably why you swiping left at the voter booth. Emotional cast, voting on wag quotables. It's supposed to be a polling move, you vote for who is owning you. Y'all must be too dumb or blind to see it get robbed by some guys. As heathens, your mind's defeated, you high cause you think this guy's a genius. You let him tax you for breathing minus the breathing. You're a jackwagon, so beat it. So be it, I'm never against some nice movement. But if the state called it free, it got a price to it. You claim to be against more slavery, but yet you want the state to confiscate fruits of labor and it's fake to me. The government's in $18 trillion worth of debt. Forgive me if I don't trust them with my checks. Piss the money by the sick and it's dumb kinda. What kind of dumbfounded clown gladly funds irresponsible warmongers? Democrats act like they the party of peace, while Obama's bombing babies in the streets. And it's weak, they sending drones blowing up hospitals and doctors. Not a lot of difference from a Bush than Barack, cause it's very evident the current president is not retarded. He's smart like a con artist, bombarded all the airways for flopping like a dolphin, like the White House with rainbows, so they could get the gay vote and say no. I just see right through the foolishness. We vote for who the ruler is, the pierce when dudes abusing it. The status cry about police brutality, but wait a minute, that statism, you made that bed so late in it. When A stitches apply to some black guy with a busted lip and black eye, who was beat up by some whack cop cause he didn't wanna comply. And you can say that black lives matter, but why we vote for a Democrat who won't bigger government than that? Pro-black buffoon, I laugh cause you calling people coons. Look at what your voting habits do. Democrats and white liberals are owning you, while one of your cities into the ground. And I'd assume that you get it now. They've been holding office since the 60s now. You catapult them into power, you get nothing out of how stupid can you be? Republicans might suck, but they don't hold their office in black cities. The government has forever opposed black folks. Okay, let's go further expand that note. From Jim Crow, slave codes and black holes, the state has always been used to keep us in a lasso. Yet you got these foolish black intellectual dummies making money off cunning blacks is funny. On MSNBC speaking on how you need government, then turn around and telling you that they the ones oppressing you, you better move. Social justice warrior activists, I write them off. They more PC than Microsoft, bit a bit, I'm sick of it, oh yeah. Bernie Sanders is an economic illiterate. Sorry, but I can't forget this old hag, it's so sad, you're so famous. It's almost like you get a bone off taxation and that payments. Democratic socialist nonsense, let's call him what he is. He's a communist with no common sense. Obsessed with Scandinavian nations who ain't got a bigger population than the DM Dub, that's a fact statement.
Bernie's the only one that cares, and I don't understand economics, so I blame the problems on the free market and the 1%. Tax cuts and trickle down doesn't work. I know I don't know and I should probably do some research. I have a right to all things, healthcare, welfare. I have no problem being owned by government.
Well, I do. You could say corporation 90 times repeating it. Impaired Robert Reich, Paul Krugman, and Nickensian. But that don't change the fact that you just highlight all your ignorance. Intellectually lazy, can't back what you fibbing in, you stupid yet loyal. Existence of the state is the moral. You bending on your knees for who is royal? Not surprising. Claim to be humanitarian, but ideas are forced by the monopoly of violence is fake. For the government to give, it must take. The social contract is what you say. But wait, I gave you no consent to take my wage, so that means that that's not a voluntary exchange. You stole from me. Your money's your money. I don't owe you a dime just cause you exist, not ish, so get over it. Admit it, your ideas ain't good as you say, if they need to be enforced by the state, okay? And that's the ANCAP rap. The government has a monopoly of force and violence. If they don't have that, they're not the state. So you can call yourself a humanitarian, but if you want the government to force something across the board, how can you be if that is through coercion and initiation of violence? Or they're sending their goons to confiscate your private property if you don't comply. It is involuntary, thus making it immoral. And no, somebody leaving isn't the way to opt out of this quote-unquote social contract that you guys like to throw out there. It is still force. So cut the gimmick, this whole humanitarian, you think you're humanitarian? No. You're a tyrant and a sucker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Peaceful Anarchism on the Voluntary Virtues Network. And you could also find me on theconsciousresistance.com and theseedsofliberty.com. So today we have Eric July. He's a voluntarist Christian anarchist and a conscious rapper. He's in a band called Backwards. You can also find him on Facebook and Twitter under Twitter at Eric D. July. And he's an admin on Being Libertarian, his own Facebook page, Eric July, and then Parabellum Radio and Backwards Music, Backwards with a Z. So you can find ParabellumRadio.com is live on WNJC Super 1360 AM radio every Monday, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Eric, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. I heard you. I mean, I've seen your small videos that you were posting on Facebook. I've seen those circulating in the Seas Liberty, and then I saw you on Liberty Hangout, and they interviewed you there. And like, this guy's awesome. I got to get this on my show because because my brother's a rapper, and so I love to help rappers spread their message or spread their their avenue for delivering the message, because the more ways we can deliver, like we were talking before, comedy, rap, writing, blogging, any kind of people make documentaries, right? Any way that we can spread volunteerism into the mainstream, I think the better will be for all of us, right? So
right, absolutely.
So yeah, so we're so maybe we'll discuss some of your recent posts and memes you were talking about regarding Bernie Sanders. Can't beat up on Bernie Sanders too much, and and Trump, Donald Trump, and basically how they're the same. It's funny, these people, they go up there and they shout and they scream as if they're like enemies, and then behind closed doors they're shaking hands and
right absolutely.
That's why they call it political theater, right?
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
so before we get into that, can you talk a little bit about your history and how you became a voluntarist and anarchist?
Yeah, most definitely. Well, I, as a lot of African Americans, grew up liberal, voting Democrat, supporting Democrats. It's really the same old song that's kind of embedded in you when you're African American, that, you have to support government, but, the party that you need to support is a Democratic Party, the Republicans are racist, yada, 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 yada. So, obviously, I grew up on that. Even did a lot of, kind of campaigning for Barack Obama, even in 2008. And, it wasn't until the main guy, and it's funny, although he's not an anarchist at all, neither of these guys are two individuals that I always point to that kind of helped me transition to being a voluntarist. One is Walter Williams, and the biggest one I would say is Thomas Sowell, the two economists. And I remember picking up books by those guys, Basic Economics by Thomas Sowell, and books as such. And he does a very, very good job of kind of putting that, breaking down economics without minus the, politics. And then breaking down how, he also has some nice commentary about how people have used race to kind of justify really oppressing, so to speak, African Americans, but not in the way that many of them think of it as. It's as basically kind of lending them the helping hand. He's very critical of, liberals and white liberals who have, I guess, presented themselves as if they're our friends, but they're not. So we're going back to the point. Got to listening to those guys, reading up more about economics. Economics was the main thing that made me, kind of transform from being a diehard leftist to being a, full-blown, ANCAP. It was just, it didn't take long for me. Usually, the rule is like you got 6 months, you become a libertarian, and then 6 months after that, you're kind of a minarchist, but 6 months after that, you're a full-blown anarchist. So it's kind of like, it was almost like that with me. So where I'm in a situation now where I reason with minarchists, but if it was up to me, obviously I would have a full-blown, abolishing of the state not existing. So it was really me getting educated on economics. Obviously, I know a lot of the Rothbards and those guys. I've read up on those guys, but they weren't the guys that led me into anarchy. Again, the people that led me to voluntarism aren't, voluntarists. They're more minarchists. Like Walter Williams is more minarchy kind of libertarian, so to speak. So most definitely it was a transition, and I've got a lot of kickback because obviously I'm an African American, so I've got a lot of kickback, and I'm having to explain myself a lot. But again, all I had to do was break down the economics and learning how government has always been used to manipulate, whether it be the currency, whether it be, setting artificial price on labor, such as minimum wage, and how that hurts us more than helps us. And once I understood that, I really, I became an ANCAP, and I just, believe that the state does not need to exist. It is obviously, its existence is immoral because all it is a monopoly on violence. So it took me having to be consistent, really, and that's how, I became a violence resistor.
Yeah, I really like hearing the idea of economics. You know, it's so funny, every time we, a lot of volunteers talk about stuff on Facebook, you always see, there's always jokes, don't you even econ, bro? It's all about, what about economics,
right,
guys? And then you see the memes like I saw this one meme where it's like an empty table and it's a sign says, this is all the economics books that Bernie Sanders has read. So it's so funny,
right,
how we joke about this stuff, but it's true. It's like we didn't come to this. I think I could say most of us, but I really can only speak for myself, that at least me and you did not come to this idea based on a feeling, like based on anger. We're not angry at things. We don't. It's not an emotional thing, right? It's a logical thing. It's a practical progression of ideas, and it's understanding how humans act and what incentivizes various people to act, and that's it. It's like understanding reality, and that's it. That's what economics is, and it's amazing how people have such a backlash when we try to calmly explain, like how you said, how minimum wage increases unemployment and, destroys the low rungs of the ladder for the lesser skilled. And they're like, but you just hate the poor. I'm like, no, I don't hate the poor.
No.
Exactly. Do you find that yourself?
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, again, I think it's kind of double because I'm an African American, so they're expecting me to have this particular thought process. And I wish people understood, and this is a bit that I didn't mention, but part of me understanding how government, again, I got the economics down, but then when I started, obviously, it's a book that Thomas Sowell, I forget what it's called, Black Rednecks and White Liberals, and it has a phenomenal, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal book.
Thanks.
But going back to, it's not just, economics was the number one thing. The number two thing was just me looking at our history. And you look at from day one, Africans, whether they were sold by their own people, whether they were stolen, they came here, and the first thing that they did was implement within their state. They knew they had to do this. They implemented within their state slave codes. After that, black codes, had the Supreme Court upholding all of these rulings that said, yes, it's okay for the state to mandate discrimination. It's okay for the state to mandate, segregation. How laws such as like the Bacon-Davis Act and minimum wage were initially used to keep blacks out of the workforce. So it's funny how you see, we're the only race, African Americans, the only race that votes for, I guess, of the two major parties, the party that actually is open about, both of them want to expand government, but one's just more open about it. The Democrats are more open about it. They're letting you know, our plan is to expand the government. Yeah. And black folks, you would think if they just knew history, they'd be the main ones to oppose the state in every way, shape, or form, because it's been used since day one to keep us behind our white counterparts. So part of me realizing that was like, all right, why in God's name would I want to, think that the state's going to, for one, fix itself, or think that, they need to be mandating laws? Think they know, when the history shows that every which way it's been used to keep us behind everybody. So, again, it's part of, the evidence is there. I mean, like you were just saying, when we talk about economics, even on a social issue, this is not... it's funny how they look at us, which they think we've got our tinfoil hats and we're these big conspiracy theorists. And it's like, when I talk to volunteers, like yourself and like other guys, it's like we're the most rational people out there. We're actually looking at the reality. There's no opinion in this. We're just saying, look, this is what the state is. You can't disagree with, all right, well, they have a monopoly on violence. Well, how? Well, because they are, they have exclusive rights to being violent, to using coercion, using kidnapping, threat of violence to get whatever they want, and you can't do that. You know, you as an individual can't do that. That's how that's, not my opinion. That's just what it is. You know what I mean? So most definitely it's just, you know, we talk about these issues as, you know, voluntarists, and we get that kickback. But again, when you just look at it from a rational standpoint and just say, look, this is a fact. You know, minus your opinions, minus what you feel. You know, this is what it is, and you can't refute it. I'm always one of those guys that say, I put the evidence right there in your face. You know, you can take it however you want to, whether you dislike it, whether you think it's wrong, or, you know, whether you don't like, because it doesn't, I guess, confirm your bias. Again, it has absolutely nothing to do with me. The evidence is out there for you to look at.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of appeal to emotion, like, you know, when you talk to leftists or socialists or communists, you often get met with things like, you know, it's a social contract, or, you know, paying your taxes is your civic duty. It's paying back your debt to society. So basically all these, you know, ethereal things that don't really mean, like, what is a social contract? It's not a contract at all, right? Like, I have a contract with my... you know, if you have a car loan, you have a contract. You have a contract with your phone. You have a mortgage. You have a contract, right? Those are real contracts. You can see them. You actually sign them.
Right.
There is no such thing as a social contract.
Doesn't exist. It doesn't. And it's funny that definitely the leftists, when you talk about taxation, they're always talking about the social contract. And I'm like, what? So where did I sign that? Can you present that to me? Show me where the social contract is that I signed, in which I gave you consent to take my, you know, my income. I'm telling you right now that I don't want that. You know what I mean? So where is this phantom contract? But it goes to show how these guys, they will make stuff up in order to try to justify the immoral things that they do, or they want to use the state to do.
Yeah. And going back to the history about the minimum wage, I think that's why it's so important for the state to monopolize education, right? And pass, you know, compulsory education laws, compulsory attendance laws, right? Because if you can control history, right? As George Orwell, wrote quite well in his novel. You know, you can manipulate the minds of the people, and that's basically where statism is nurtured and grows. Yeah. Is in government school, right? There is no, you know, that's one of the best ways. You get them when they're impressionable, when they're young, when they can't detect BS and crap,
right, exactly.
and they assimilate it as if it's truth, right?
Well, absolutely. No, that's exactly what happens. I mean, it's very, very. They have to monopolize education in order to get rid of. It's not something that's exclusive to America. You know, every nation with their imaginary borders does that, you know, where they have to do that. Because, again, what is government? Like, when you think, you know, and this is something I'm always trying to break down to, you know, other folks. I'm like, well, what exactly is government? You know what I mean? It's a group of delegated, you know, individuals in which, you know, you basically have said, all right, well, I don't have the right to initiate any kind of violence or coerce you, or, you know, I can't do that, but I can give these people the right to do it. So as long as I call it government, it's just, you know. But ultimately, again, when you think about it, it's really in your mind, you know, because it's not, it's still a group of individuals, you know, it's still individuals, not like this, and they like to think of it as like this, it's separated, I guess, from the individuals. But no, it's a group of individuals that you have delegated. So as long as they call themselves government, they can do whatever it is they want. They can justify it. They think it's moral. But again, it's all in their mind. And it's funny how these guys, they really believe that they have to, you know, they need rulers. I mean, everything, you know, the cliche thing they love to say is, you know, who's going to build the roads and all of that. It's like basic human interaction. Like, and this is where the state has done a great job in kind of getting them while they're young, in letting them, you know, kind of implementing, embedding that statism in their mind, you know, because we have some, like, voluntary exchanges going on every day. You know, every single day you have voluntary interaction and exchanges going on, but for whatever reason, they feel as if it can't happen, you know, or we need to you know, the government needs to exist. You know, even though we're going through every day, you know, you're going through hundreds of voluntary, hundreds of voluntary interactions, or just, you know, transactions in general, in which you are basically, both of you guys are consenting parties, or a group of people consenting parties, in which you're saying, look, I want that, you want this, here, bam, let's exchange. You know, and it's really that simple. And for whatever reason, people think that, like, it's not, and again, going back to the point, it's not the government that's telling us to do that. You know what I mean? The government, and people all often assume, when they talk about anarchy, they assume that it's a society without rules. No, it's a society without, you know, rulers. But there's still going to be rules. There's rules within your household, you know, that the government doesn't mandate that your people in your household follow. Right. No, businesses have rules that, you know, some have to do with the mandates that the government have, but businesses have rules that, or you go to another business, they might not have that rule. You know what I mean? Or they have a different way of, enforcing that rule. They might not have it all together, but those are examples of people setting rules, you know, within their, you know, I guess society, so to speak, or within their culture. And it's voluntary. It's not, you know, the state is not holding a gun to your head and saying, look, this is how it needs to be. So it really blows my mind how, you know, people really assume that, you know, it'll be chaotic. And all of this, if we don't have the state, and it's like, I'm like, wait a minute. So you're basically saying that you're, and this is what I always have to get them to admit. I'm like, well, you're basically saying that you're an immoral person, because I don't go shoot you in the face because I'm afraid, of the law is going to, you know, kidnap me and lock me up in a cage. I do it because I don't shoot you in the face because I don't believe in initiating, you know, violence, initiating force, or doing something without your, consent. It has absolutely nothing to do with the government. So for you to say that you feel that it must exist, you're basically essentially saying that, well, man is corrupt. Man will do evil things. So as long as we don't, have, the government to, I guess, enforce the law. But in that same respects, and this is where they contradict, for that same reason, you must equally reject government, because all that does is give the people that you say that you claim to be immoral, that you claim to be corrupt, it gives them a monopoly or access to the monopoly of violence, so to speak.
Excellent. That's the way to put it. yeah, there's so many contradictions with statism. It's just it's almost like when I talk to people who are firm believers in government, you can't just state the facts like you just said, because just stating the facts will get them angry and frustrated.
Right.
And, you know, and say, you know what, I don't want to talk to you anymore, you're not making sense, you're crazy. And when in fact we're the ones that are the realists, I guess, the ones that are
right,
making sense. And it's like if the whole world is insane and you are sane, then you're viewed as insane, right?
Absolutely.
That's
exactly
right. That's exactly how it is. And so it's almost, you know, Larkin Rose does a lot of work with this. It's pretty cool how he really analyzes psychologically how to speak to statists, right? Because, you know, as you know, we can't just talk to them logically because they get so emotional and angry. So you have to use psychology to get around that and to calm them down so they don't get carried away in their anger.
That's very true. That's very true. Now, in my experience, that's really how, because I used to be, you know, when I first, I guess, became an ANCAP, or just a libertarian, really, it was like I would, you know, try to approach it from just the stats, and they ain't trying to hear it, or the stats, it's like they're offensive. So it's kind of like that barrier. So what I've been able to do, and what I've, and I, again, you know, you mentioned, you know, like Liberty Hangout and all of that. I was talking to these guys about the same thing, in which I've had to approach it basically by using the logic that they have, that they feel is, all right, well, this is my premise, using that and turning it on them. It's fairly easy to do. It's very, very easy to do. Again, like the point I just made about them saying that man, suggesting that man without law, or without, not necessarily without law, without government, is chaos. And I'm like, well, for that same reason, why would you want to give them monopolized violence? You know what I mean? Like, again, it's just turning the logic on it. You're saying that, you know, people are this evil, you know, which is why, and this is another point that I, going kind of further on that, is why I'm like, you can name more times that government has been used to annihilate their own people, you know, starve their own people than you can name of anarchy doing the same thing. You know what I mean? So if you just go by history and your own logic that, hey, people without government, who's going to stop this person from doing that? Well, okay, well, why? With government, you're allowing that person to do whatever it is they want. So how is that somehow the more superior system or ideology?
There's a, you remind me of a post by Julie Borowski that I've seen a lot, and she's like screenshotted it, and she said, what would you do if, like, there was no government for 24 hours? And it's based on the, you know, that movie, The Purge, right? Anarchy?
Right, yeah.
And then the first like, comment that got the most likes is, like, open a lemonade stand. And then it's like, right. It was like, drink raw milk. And then,
rainwater.
Collect rainwater on my own property and make improvements on my house.
Like, right.
It's amazing how people, you know, constantly think that, you know, people, like, everybody just wants to rape and steal and murder each other. No, I don't think so. I think people have better things to do. I think most people just want to get on with their lives, go to work, raise their kids well, you know, you know. Make new friends. Like, that's what people most people have in mind. Like, there's a really negligible minority of people that are true psychopaths and sociopaths, but that's always going to be the minority. And creating, you know, an institution that is kind of a magnet for those people does not help the situation and actually makes it significantly worse.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, what happens when those psychopaths, you know, become, you know, presidents and dictators and all of that? Like, what happens then? Or when they have now delegated themselves, you did, I guess, as the individual, a group of individuals, they feel as if they can delegate rights they already don't have, which makes absolutely no sense. But right. Again, they feel as if they can do that. But what's stopping these same psychopaths that they feel exist? What's stopping them from obtaining office? You know what I mean? Getting in office. Like, I believe we got some psychopaths in office right now. But again, that's the problem with the government. You know what I mean? Because they are able to do that and able to say, not necessarily say crazy things, but they can implement laws that are absolutely immoral. Like, they can do that. Again, and you're, by having the existence of government, you allow them to do that. You know what I mean? You're literally saying, hey, look, if you get this, you can do crazy things. You can, you know, bomb people endlessly. You know what I mean? You could, you know, you kill innocents. You can kidnap people. You can lock them up. You can do all of these different things. So as long as you call yourself a government. Again, why would you want to grant these people that call themselves that are psychopaths, that are sociopaths, that are actually violent? Why would you want to allow them to obtain this type of power?
Right, exactly. It kind of like reminds me of Larkin Rose's video, the If You Were King, and you know, he basically goes through you know, how you have presidents, pharaohs, dictators, prime ministers that are outright evil, and then you have those that most people consider to be good. But my contention is there is no such thing as a good president, because just by him, like, there's no way that somebody who rules over millions of people can enact laws that will benefit millions of people, right? Because those are millions of people, unique individuals. Everybody has their own, you know, needs, wants, and desires. There is absolutely no way that they can help those people, right? No way, without hurting a significant number of people. And really, the only way that they can is if they slowly repeal every single law and government agency, right? So even if the president did absolutely nothing while he's in office, even if he didn't pass any law, he didn't increase the government, anything, he's still collecting taxation. That's still the initiation of force. It's still immoral.
Still theft. At the end of the day, it's still theft. It's still theft. I mean, really, the only way, and this is what I've been saying, you know, like, the only way that you can really get in, like, whether, I mean, we can start at the local level. I mean, really, the only way that it can't be, I guess, force, or, you know, really the initiation of force, if you have somebody that is going in there, you know, obviously they're not collecting taxes, but they're going in there with the idea of I'm coming here to try to get everything abolished. You know what I mean? Other than that, you know, that's really, you know, what the only way that one can say, like, all right, well, I'm in this position and I'm nonviolent, or I'm not initiating force of any kind. Like somebody that's going in and saying, look, I want to get rid of this, you know, and I want to put, you know, the money back in, and, you know, what is yours? I want to basically create a situation where what's yours is yours. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where the mere existence of it is immoral. I mean, we have to understand what it is and why it's government. I think that's the biggest thing that I've had to, try to break down for the status, is how, like, what is it? Like, what is government? I mean, what makes them government? It's the fact that they have literally a monopoly on violence. If they don't have that, they're not government. They can't coerce you into doing anything, so they're nothing more than, you know, they're nothing. They're absolutely nothing. If they don't have that, they're no longer government. So the mere existence of it, and this is why I don't understand how people can be these hardcore big government statists and think they're humanitarians simultaneously. It doesn't make sense, you know, because you're basically saying, look, it is okay for us to initiate violence, you know, or, you know, coerce you or have threat of violence of some sort, and take your money and pass these laws that basically say you can only do this or you can't do that with your own private property, you know, with yourself, not even your own private property, with yourself. You're basically saying, I don't own myself. So in the same respect, like, how can you say that you are a humanitarian of any sort when the very thing that you're trying to use, I guess, to accomplish your egotistical, you know, humanitarianism, is immoral. You can't be humanitarian. It's really contradicting things.
Yeah, the other way I look at the state is, you know, in addition to being immoral, is being immensely, you know, it's a huge temptation. it's like I look at it like the ring of power from the Lord of the Rings. It's like everybody who touches the ring gets corrupt and evil. But then there's always one guy. No, I will use it for good. No, you're not going to use it for good. Nobody can use it for good. It's like power is more addictive than cocaine. All right, who's gonna take control of the most powerful military in the world and say, you know what, I'm not gonna do anything. You know,
right.
It's not going to happen. And I mean, I really have, you know, I try to support people like Adam Kokesh who say that they're going to, you know, run for president, and on the platform of the peaceful dissolution of the federal government. That's great. You know, I wish him well, but I honestly hope he doesn't get elected, because I really think that if he does get elected,
he's probably going to.
No, not that. I think he's going to get assassinated.
If he really does try to do that. That's most definitely the second option.
Oh no, I don't even think that he's going to even go. He's going to be able to go through with that. I really don't. I mean, can you imagine how many people are in these government agencies, like, on welfare? You know, are they really going to just allow them to say, you know what, this agency is gone, that agency is gone? I don't think so.
It's going to be a pushback. It's going to absolutely be a pushback.
There's so much inertia. There's so much momentum in the system right now, and people. So many people are benefiting from it that. No, they're not going to want to give that up. You know, like, how many people want to give up their welfare, their Medicare, Medicaid, their EBT cards, you know, their subsidized housing? Who wants to give that up? Nobody.
Right. Yeah, I mean, no, for sure. I mean, that's a great way to put it. I mean, it's one of those things I've said, and, you know, I'm not to say sound like a loon. I've said that, you know, some of the things that I say, definitely me being a person of color, is probably going to end up in my own assassination. Which, again, like, you know, so as long as I got the word out, you know, I can at least go to the grave and say, you know, man, I got that word out there. So maybe the next person, you know, can come up and kind of carry that torch. But most definitely, there's going to be a pushback. I mean, there's always going to be a pushback. And definitely as you gain momentum, because I've seen it even at my level, you know, as me gaining within a recent year. You know, because I've been a libertarian for a minute, but as far as me being like I am now, where I'm hardcore and I have ground, not just from, you know, before it was just me being a musician. Now it's me as an individual, you know what I mean? Getting this word out, I'm already ready for the pushback, you know, and it's going to be a constant pushback no matter where I go. And it's something that, again, it takes a lot of courage, which is, I think, I always find it funny how these minority groups think that they're always under attack. And I'm like, man, until you know, all of y'all are out there arguing with each other, Republicans versus Democrats, and then you have the anarchists where y'all all are against us. You know what I mean? So while y'all arguing with each other, the common ground is y'all are against us. So I really feel like definitely as voluntarists, we are the true, you know, minority in a speak, as to say that, all right, well, people are against us, because the people that are the statists, they're arguing back and forth basically of how we need to run the state. Should it be this big? Should it be that big? And then when we come along and we're saying y'all shouldn't even exist, you know, we're the ones that are the loony. Then y'all basically have a common threat, a common enemy, and that's us. So I really don't think you're the true minority unless you're an anarchist.
Yeah, definitely. I firmly believe there's a great meme I saw that said, you know, if you're not on a government watch list by now, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Absolutely. I'm probably on all kinds of no-fly zones and all of that stuff, man. I'm positive. You know, we have actually a new song coming out, Backwards, and, you know, the actual song, I'm not going to say the name of it. I just want to, because I do want to kind of say that, but one of my lines is, you know, I'm probably on the FBI's most wanted list, you know, because I seriously believe that, you know, somebody that's gained as much ground as I have and used so many different platforms from the local level, talking about the politics, you know, in the social level, but also on the platform as me going to be able to speak to Fox News and going to speak, you know, to all of these podcasts and being able to get this word out of self-ownership and non-aggression and all of that. I seriously believe that they're just waiting for the moment to say, all right, man, we got to take him out, man. He's gaining way too much ground. We got to take him out.
Yeah, I mean, I know I went through that phase of, you know, when I'm learning about voluntarism and anarcho-capitalism and you're learning how powerful the state is and it's a monopoly on violence. And you learn about these truths and initially, you know, I don't know if most people felt this, but I, you know, you feel some fear, like, oh shoot, now, you know, the state is all powerful, and you learn about the NSA and all the spying, and you're like, man, they're reading everything, my phone calls, my texts, like, everything on Facebook is public, like, man, what can I do? How can I escape this? And so I think I kind of retreated a little bit, you know, got off Facebook and everything, and then I realized, like, wait a minute. They can read everything at any time, and so what use is it to be silent and cower in the corner? You know, that's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. It's just no use to anybody, right? So you know, you have to use this time that you have to try to educate others, right? It's like one of my favorite Voltaire quotes is, if you want to find out who controls you, find out who you can't criticize. Right, so
that's a great quote.
Oh, it's very important that to not keep silent, because once you self-censor yourself, then they have won already. You know, then you know that the fear has overcome you, and you know that fear is greater than your, you know, desire to speak out, right, and tell the truth. And that's an unfortunate thing. And you know, I really hope that people, they don't stay in that place for long, because I mean I understand how people can get there. You know, once you learn about all this stuff, it gets overwhelming and you get overcome with fear and paranoia. But still, you know, you got to keep speaking. And the more people that speak, they can't silence everybody. That's the thing. And now with the internet, with Facebook, with all these, you know, with Twitter, with all these social media platforms, we can talk about these things. And no, they can't kill everybody. They can't silence everybody. They can't shut off the internet. You know, they can't do this stuff. So you have to talk about it. You have to speak out. So that's what I tell people.
Right. No, absolutely. Like, you have to. I mean, it's one of those things. Like, I do that, you know. And definitely, I kind of went through that phase where I wasn't as loud, you know, when I, you know, kind of converted to became a libertarian. And, you know, it's like, look, man, what's the point of holding your tongue at this point? I mean, this, you know, the information is out there. So, like you said, you kind of got to spend the time that you do have, because they might, you know, if they see you gaining ground, you might get off. But again, my thing is trying to instill this this message at every platform. That's why I use every platform that I can, whether it be as me as a rapper, metal vocalist, as a public speaker. No matter what I'm doing, every platform that I have, I'm trying to get this message out, because if I feel like I've been successful, if I got one person that was a, you know, thinking this way, at least got him to think critically, not even converted him, got him to think critically so he'd at least consider, you know, kind of the alternative to statism, most definitely is something that I would find, man, I would consider a success. So it's all about getting that word out, getting that message out. No matter what, you are going to have that pushback. You are going to, you're going to look like a loon to a bunch of, you know, hardcore statists who feel like they just can't operate unless the government makes a law for them and tells them that they have to do it. It's you got people that have been for hundreds of years bred to believe this. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen. This generation might not happen in next, but again, I you know, want to be able to go to the grave and say I at least did my part to get that message out.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing that brings me consolation is the fact that there's much, much bigger names with much wider audiences who are spreading this message, like, you know, like Stefan Molyneux, like Larkin Rose, like Tom Woods, you know, Robert Murphy, Hans Hermann Hoppe, all these kind of guys that are talking the same message, and they have a much wider audience. And so I'm like, I'm small potatoes. I just have a little YouTube channel and a podcast and a little website. That's it. That's all I have. And I just make posts on Facebook. Like, so you know, I'm not really afraid anymore. I think we can't function on fear. Fear is paralyzing, right? We have to, you know, I think we have to make our message attractive. And one way to make it attractive is to show how it improves our lives, how it makes us happier individuals, right, and more enthusiastic about living, right, and so hopefully other people will you know, absorb that enthusiasm and they'll understand that freedom is beautiful.
Absolutely.
You know, it's always much better than anything the state can deliver, you know, through its aggression and violence. So, but before we talk about anything else, can you just go into a little bit about your rap and you know, how that's transformed with your volunteerist message?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I've been rapping forever. You know, I grew up, you know, gang banging and doing all kinds of silly stuff. But that was, you know, I kind of became, I guess I want to say, definitely amongst the youth, a prominent figure out here in Dallas by being a rapper. And, you know, I was simultaneously gang banging and doing stuff like that. But I would talk about, you know, silliness, you know, fighting and stuff like that. That was what I was talking about. And again, as I became more and more educated, I became more and more knowledgeable about how this is kind of, as doing that was participating in the destruction, really, of our own communities, our black communities. So when I converted into kind of being more nonviolent, and then as again, I got into libertarianism, got into voluntarism. Definitely as of lately, I've been kind of basically putting that message out there of voluntarism, doing like these little and backwards. We do this deal weekly, not weekly, more of like every you know, couple of weeks, few weeks, try to drop one of the deal. We call them Ripper's Raps. And like I did, my latest one was the ANCAP rap, was something I did in which I was kind of talking about, you know, not necessarily just voluntarism, but talking about how politicians manipulate people into believing that they're helping them when they're doing the opposite, and talking about things like that. So I want to bring that lyrical aspect to it, because honestly, when you think about it, really there's not a whole lot of prominent like rap artists, or just really artists in general, that are having that message. The people that were, that claim to have that message, they didn't do nothing, but they don't do nothing but lean left. Even the guys that influenced me, like, you know, right, Rage Against the Machine, like, you go look at them from a political level, they'd lean left, you know what I mean? And same with, you know, he didn't influence me by any means, but he's claimed to be anti-government, and Killer Mike went and endorsed Bernie Sanders, who's the opposite of anti-government. You know what I mean? So again, there's not really any kind of like voluntarist prominent guys. And I feel like we need that kind of representation. So from a rap standpoint, I try to do that. And also, again, my band is really kind of a fusion of me as a rapper and also kind of me as a metal vocalist, screamer, so to speak. So we try to implement those lyrics, those types of lyrics in our music. as well. We're not even a year old. I mean, I dropped my old band, Fire From The Gods, the last song the last single that we released was titled The Capitalist. And that was really the first song in which I not only, because I implemented rap in the middle, it was also the first song that I implement or that message of being anti-government. And once I left that band, and, you know, with Backwards Forming this year, and was gaining so much ground, it was finally, the first song had really not a whole lot to do with, I guess voluntarism or libertarianism or being anti-state. But the second single with the leadist was kind of started entertaining like that realist about how, you know, these rulers, I guess, so to speak, really aren't helping us out. And I was talking about the music genre, the music business, in that regards. But then this latest single that we have released was Utopias Don't Exist. That was full blown, you know, to recite some of the lyrics, you know, Republicans, Democrats, different sides, saying crap, you know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about being, you know, anti-government, and this next single is really taking that, and what you hear is what you're going to get going forward, whereas being anti-government, being anti-state. So I feel an obligation to kind of mention this information. Like, I really do feel an obligation because there's not that many volunteers, musicians out there. Most of the musicians, they lean left, so we do need that representation.
Yeah, I've had the the honor to talk with I've interviewed quite a few the very few volunteer rappers, Blood of the Brave, Mason Moore, Nima Vedati, what's the guy's name? Rob Hustle. I really, I didn't talk to him. I really want to, but he's guy's really busy guy.
Right.
But yeah, I really love what you guys are doing, and I really try to help you out, spread your message, because, you know, one thing that's interesting is that, talking about psychology and how to talk to status is that, you know, some people, in order to get them to think about something new, you have to give them like a good economic explanation, like lay it out logically. That's how some people's mind works, right? And so that works for some people. Other people, their minds, I guess, are a little simpler. And so you just basically, like, one tactic Larkin was saying, which is pretty funny, I remember, it's like they just need repetition. So if you just go up to somebody random in the street, say, government is illegitimate, and they walk away. In their mind, if that's the first time they hear it, they're like, all right. But then if it's the second time they hear it, then they're going to be like, you know, I heard that before.
Right. No, for sure.
And it's going to click for them. So that's kind of how I look at rap. It's like, you guys in a rap song, you don't have, you know, time to go through economic explanations of logic and of human action, but you mention phrases, and those phrases get people to think, right? So that simple way of just saying the phrase, you know, self-ownership, property rights, non-aggression, violence of the state, you know, things like that, monopoly on violence, it just gets people thinking, and that's great. You know, I think we need more of that. You know, we have a lot of books, and books are great, but books don't reach everybody. You know,
absolutely, some of them don't have access to it. I mean, again, you're talking about different. Every culture listens to music of some sort,
Yeah. You
know, and I mean, I think it's very, very important. I mean, I think that's where we lack, actually, when you think about it. I mean, we have the intellectuals out there, you know, that are in their suit and ties that put this information out there. But we don't have, you know, definitely from a musicianship standpoint, we don't have that more prominent representation about, you know, when we talk about voluntarism, you know, we don't. Again, and the ones that act like they're, you know, about, you know, anti-state, they just do nothing but lean left. Again, and we see that. I've seen that time and time again. So we need consistent guys. We need people that are really spreading this message and using their music, you know, because it's funny. And I learned this going, you know, growing up, even not rapping about, like voluntarism. I was used to rap about, again, I was gangbanger, so I used to rap about fighting and stuff. But listening, like, when I would perform at these clubs, you know, we had a song that was called Bring the Beef, and it was basically a fight song. And me and buddy Jay Dunn, who was also on that song, had performed that song. And I don't think at any point in time that we ever, because we were young guys, so we would perform them at like teenage clubs, the song at teenage clubs and adult clubs as well. And I don't remember ever performing those songs and not having a fight break out. You know what I mean? So, yeah, like, seriously, like, every time we performed that, people were just, you know, going at it. You know, every time it didn't take, but I mean, before I was on the second verse, we had a girl, a CJ that was on the first verse. But, you know, it was just when I got, you know, on my part as a second verse, they were already throwing blows. You know what I mean? So it's like, but it just goes to show you how influential my music is. You know, how that is. Like, if I could just, you know, they could hear that and it makes them want to, you know, beat each other up. How come I can't make music to make you want to think critically and understand, you know, that the state has been conning you into believing that they even exist? You know what I mean? So, again, like, this is something that is very, very important. And if we have enough guys that, like you say, have that repetition, I think, again, that's something that I can see that we have an upward trend in our genre. And it's something great because there's not a lot of bands that are even from a style level where we're at, you know, where we do the whole singing, we do the whole screaming, and we're rapping. Again, so that in itself is a unique aspect, and I think that's how we went from again, we started this year, and we have what our 10,000 likes on you know, Facebook, and you know, and we've done all these cool little shows, and we've done all of that. We've done got songs with 150,000 you know, views on YouTube and stuff like that. We've done that on the genre alone, just where we're at, you know, because there's not a lot to sound like that. So not a lot of bands that sound like us. So now we're able to start implementing that message. And I think that in combination is really going to be really, really something special. And I really, really want to get this word out. And again, this is why I love speaking to, you know, guys like, you know, yourself or anybody. Just, I want to be able to, what you hear in my music is what I want to be able to intellectually, explain this, and break this down. So I try to remain as consistent as I can in my message, as well as just, you know, having that kind of personality, because a lot of these musicians, we just think of them as, you know, that's all they do. They don't really know a lot. Most of them, don't get me wrong, most of them don't know a lot. I mean, most of them have their music role formed. They're nothing but, you know, puppets. In a sense, you know, but my thing is I want to be able to, you know, you get that message and then you say, you be able to, hey, man, hey, come to our show, or let's talk about what you were talking about in your song. I want to be able to, all right, well, you heard that. I really couldn't break it down like I wanted to in 3.5 minutes in that song. Now let's talk about what I'm actually speaking on and why government is illegitimate, why it's a monopoly on violence, why if you believe in its existence, you are an immoral person, and how you're an immoral person. So it's most definitely it's about remaining consistent and using every platform that you can to get this message out.
Excellent, yeah. Yeah, and I just want to mention, I forgot one great volunteers rapper, Jared Howe, Jerry One, really awesome guy, and he's been posting some great songs recently. He made actually a song for the Seeds of Liberty podcast that I co-host with Dave and Jeremy, so really cool guy. But before we end, could you talk a little bit about your, because you're also a Christian anarchist, you're a Christian, so can you talk about that and like what the relationship for you, that you see Christianity and anarchy, how they meet in the middle, you know, how they merge?
Well, I think they go hand in hand, because you look at, I just like Christianity is about, you know, basically following, you know, the God's only one and only son, Jesus. And when I look at, you know, we will never be like Jesus, you know, but that's what every Christian is supposedly. Well, that's not supposedly. That's what we're supposed to. We're supposed to try to be like, I guess, him. And, you know, the biggest, you know, one of the verses is and how it goes is that, you know, the only way to the Father, God, is through the Son. And you look at how Jesus didn't force anybody to do anything. Everything that he, you know, every follower that he, even the rich folks, he was like, give up your wealth, you know, or give up your possessions and then come follow me. He didn't hold a gun to the head and say, follow me. You know, he said, you know, do this voluntarily. And this is what, and you look at what God gives us, and the biggest thing that's often, like, kind of people undermine this, the fact that what is free will? You know what I mean? What is that? Like, God has gave everybody free will. If you want to go be an evil person, you can get your one-way ticket to hell. That's on you. But if you want to follow, you know, in the words, or follow his son, you know what I mean, and, you know, kind of inherit the kingdom of God, you know, you can do that as well. But he gave you the free will. God himself gave you the free will to do that. So that in itself is voluntarism. And then you go look at the fact that Jesus didn't force anybody to do anything. That is also voluntarism. So I always say that libertarian, like, oh, Jesus was a libertarian. He never was. Jesus was not a socialist. I don't know where these people get off thinking that, you know, he somehow forced people because I guess he was so giving. But people, the people that really don't understand what capitalism is, they don't understand that you can be a very, very generous person and be a capitalist. You know what I mean? All capitalism is having private ownership of goods and services and the private exchange of those goods and services. So if you want to sell those, you can do it. If you want to give your possessions away, you can also do that. So you can be very, very generous. And Jesus was a very generous person. You know, he went around voluntarily helping people. But the people that followed him, they followed him voluntarily. He did not force anybody to follow him. So I look at that, it goes hand in hand with voluntarism, because if we look at what Jesus did, and we look at the free will that God gives us, you know what I mean? Like, that in itself was all voluntary, you know, because I can go be an evil person, I can go be a good person. You know, I have the freedom to do that. God gave me that free will to do that. But then he sent his only son to die for us, and his son didn't force people to follow him. He said, look, man, look, you want to follow me? Come follow me. But I'm not going to hold gun to your rock, I guess, back then. I'm not going to hold no rock to your head. I'm going to beat you with it if you don't follow me. You can very well not follow me, but you can follow me. So, again, it was all about voluntary exchanges. So me being a Christian, it goes hand in hand with voluntarism, because I do not believe in initiation of violence. I do not believe in, you know, coercing people. I do not believe in threatening people with violence to confiscate their private property. I don't believe in any of that, and neither did Jesus.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes by Gandhi is, you know, the world would be a much better place if Christians acted more like their Christ.
Absolutely.
And how it's, you know, it's about peace, right? It's a peaceful belief. And like you said, you know, Jesus, like, you know, you see funny memes all the time, you know, with Jesus coming, you know, there's a guy on the floor, Jesus comes and says, you know, okay, hold on right here. I'm going to go pass a law.
Right.
And help you.
No, he didn't do that. He wouldn't voluntarily help them out. Nor did he say, look, you know, if give your private property to the Romans and have them distribute it to the poor. No, he told you to go do it. You know what I mean? And again, it was like, you do it, you go do that with your own possessions.
Right.
You know, it wasn't anything. He did not force anybody to do anything. Even as, again, just following him in general, he did not force them to do anything. Everything about it was voluntary. And it's like, if you follow that, you know, that's like, I feel like I have no reason, because look, I'm supposed to, the only person that I'm supposed to be praising is, you know, is Jesus. You know what I mean? So why am I going to praise these rulers? You know, why am I going to grant these rulers the power to rule over me if I'm supposed to only have, you know, one person that I'm following, you know, at a spiritual level, and that's Jesus Christ. So again, it's like, it really is not that hard. I feel like if most people that call themselves Christians were actually Christian, they would be voluntarists. You know what I mean? They would believe in voluntarism if they were consistent and actually read the word and understood what it was that Jesus was doing and why he was sent here. You know, and just kind of looking at that. If they looked at that, I feel like more Christians would be anarchists. More Christians would be voluntarists.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, I now I'm thinking about it. Like, I think a lot of Christians that are statists, at the same time as people who are like constitutionalists or minarchists, you know, they look at those ancient documents like Christians look at the Bible, and they say, well, you know, Jesus, See, he says helping the poor, so I guess that means EBT cards, food stamps, subsidized housing. I guess that means that, right? Even though they didn't say it in the Bible or they didn't say it in the Constitution. Oh, it also means Department of Homeland Security, Transportation, TSA, you know. He's probably implying that, right?
Right, yeah, he's implying that we enforce people, that we take people's private property, their right. money, and we pay for these. That's probably what he meant, you know, when he was saying that, you know, help the poor and, right. and all of those things, you know, love thy neighbor. He was meaning coerce thy neighbor, you know, and take his private property. That's what he was really meaning. Again, like, if people are concerned, it's not even just with Christianity, it's with just from a logical standpoint, if status were consistent, they wouldn't be status.
Right, exactly. That's the whole idea about statism. Most people didn't come to statism from the idea of like examining all other philosophies of life. Like most of us came to statism because we were raised, we went to government schools, right? And our parents most likely were statists. Most people's parents today were not voluntarists or anarchists, right? So we didn't have a choice, basically. That's what we grew up in, you know? And so, you know, we didn't come to that conclusion from an area of logic and reason. And so that's why it's so hard for us to examine all of that, you know, all of that background and then try to, you know, make it logically and morally consistent. And I think that's what most of us are trying to do. All right. So, so is there anything else that you wanted to finish up with before we sign off?
No, absolutely. I'm good. I really appreciate you having me on again. I'm pretty much an open book. So guys, you know, like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm everywhere, Twitter, Facebook, Eric July. I mean, you can find me. You want to chat about some things, find out what obviously we're up to as a band, what I'm up to, as far as, you know, speaking and what I'm speaking on. I try to keep you guys, updated about, you know, when I do appear maybe on a public, deal, and I'm able to talk about this message. I try to keep you guys updated. So most definitely, man, guys can always reach out to me. Whenever you want me back here, just reach out to me as well. I appreciate you having me on big time.
No problem. So the best ways that people can reach you if they want to follow your work?
You can find me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/ first and last name, Eric July, T as in Terry and X. And then you got Twitter, Eric D. July is the my Twitter handle. So you can hit me up on either of those. Shoot me a quick message. Shoot me some comments. Obviously, backwards, if you have anything that, you know, regarding that, we have all our contact information there, Gmail, to the from the manager standpoint, if you want for a show or somewhere, all that information is there. Really, really easy to contact. So I would say if, you know, you want to chat, want to know some more things, man, just, you know, reach out to me.
And also I'd like to ask my guests, what's one of your favorite quotes, you know, about, you know, just,
oh,
yeah, whatever.
Man, favorite quote, man, that's a hard one. I would say that, Hayek that, said if socialists understood economics, they wouldn't be socialists. You know what I mean? I think that to me is probably one of the bigger ones. But I could go down the line of Thomas Sowell quotes, man. It's so hard. Thomas Sowell, though, he said some great, great things that led me. Again, he himself is more, you know, just minority kind of libertarian leaning.
Yeah.
But he just pointing out some of the things that the state does. I mean, just going and reading his books, it really led me to voluntarism.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Those guys are not anarchists. I mean, the stuff that they write about, you know, it's really amazing. But
right, the argument usually is, I mean, it's like with Milton Friedman. I mean, people don't understand. They kind of, all right, well, he's a statist. He's a statist. Not understanding that a lot of the way, like the economic approach, they're more so, they're not necessarily status. They're like, all right, this is what we have. We have this, you know, Federal Reserve System. And in order for us to have an efficient economy or efficient market economy, this is kind of what we would have to do in order to have the most efficient economy. It's not necessarily to say that, oh, they're full-blown status. No, right, it's right. More so, all right, well, this is the cards that we're kind of dealt with.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So this is kind of what we had. So I always tried to approach, and it was actually somebody else, you know, that kind of led me to think of it that way. Like, well, you got to look at, you know, the era they grew up in, and what you go look at. If not all, when you talk about like Milton Friedman and talk about Thomas Sowell and Walter Williams and Mises, like these guys were very anti-government. There wasn't anything closet about that. They were very anti-government. But I like to think of it more as, I think if they maybe would have had it their way, again, I'm not in these guys' heads, so I don't know. I think if they would have had it their way, it would have been more voluntarism, less of a state, but they more so were preaching these, I guess, economic teachings that were just kind of in the confines of what we have right now.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of great quotes by both of those guys. And one of my favorite, which I forget, I think it's Thomas Sowell, he said, it's easy to be conspicuously compassionate when you don't have to suffer the consequences. Right, and I forget who said that, but that's basically a politician, you know. We're gonna help the poor, we're gonna get real jobs, we're gonna make some jobs, we're gonna get you a living wage, you know. It's like, but you're not doing anything. Like, the entrepreneurs are making the jobs and right, creating the wealth. You're not doing anything. You're just like shouting and like putting people in cages for nonviolent crimes. That's what you're doing. Get out of the way and let people do their thing.
Right. Absolutely, man. No, that is 100% true. 100% true.
So awesome. Awesome conversation. Eric, thanks a lot for coming to the show. Really appreciate it. So if anybody wants to help out my show, you can check in the links below. I accept PayPal, Bitcoin, and Patreon. The links are below. Please help us out. I really love doing what I'm doing, interviewing wonderful guests like Eric, and I want to do more of it, and I will do more of it, but monetary compensation is always encouraged, right? We are capitalists in the end.
Yes, sir.
So awesome conversation, Eric. Thanks a lot. So this is Peaceful Anarchism on the Voluntary Virtues Network and theconsciousresistance.com. And theseedsofliberty.com. Wishing everyone have a wonderful day. Take care. Bye.